Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The thronging crowds line the street like a parade to welcome their King and Savior. Imagine for a moment what it was like back then. It is now 5 days before the Passover feast. Pilgrims are coming in, streaming into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. There is a hustle and bustle to the city. They have come to worship God, to bring their sacrifices to the temple. There's already the normal excitement and anticipation of a city awaiting the Passover festival. But this time is going to be even more exciting. News spread that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Jesus coming into Jerusalem? The very same Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead? The one who fed 5,000 men and had 12 baskets of bread to spare? The very Jesus who healed 10 lepers? This is the man coming to Jerusalem. People's hearts and minds were stirred. Multitudes lined the road leading up to Jerusalem to welcome him. Some threw their clothes and some cut palm branches to spread on the road. The palm branches are used in olden times to welcome a returning king, a returning war hero. In Roman customs, they used palm branches to welcome military or athlete champions. But look, just like Solomon came riding on a mule as king, so Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey as king. He isn't walking as he usually does. People were overjoyed. Finally, Jesus was making his move. He liked to keep his miracles quiet. He didn't seem to want any political power, but this time it seems different. He is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, surely a sign. The crowds, the multitudes were going before Jesus, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Now, Hosanna means saves, deliver us. Perhaps some people were thinking, Jesus, the man who can raise people from the dead, is going to lead us to victory. Perhaps to freedom from Roman rule and let Israel be free again. Perhaps Jesus has come as their political savior. But friends, within a week of the crowds crying Hosanna, we have another crowd that kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" Within a week of riding into Jerusalem in peace, in triumphant procession as their king, Jesus was nailed to the cross with a crown of thorns on his head, beaten to a pulp, dead. This leads me to my first point. Did Jesus make a mistake? Was it a bad move riding into Jerusalem as king? Perhaps he could have snuck into Jerusalem on the quiet. The answer is a resounding no. Jesus was in complete control. He knew what he was doing. Now earlier, before going up to Jerusalem, Jesus had told, as you heard in the reading, to his disciples to get him a donkey. Jesus instructed two of his disciples to go to the village ahead and find a donkey there just as they entered the village. He told them to untie the donkey that no one had ridden before. And if anyone asked, tell them that the Lord needs it. Now, imagine yourself, okay, as one of the disciples. He wants us to get the donkey. He normally walks everywhere. Oh, well, let's go and get the donkey. Hey, look, that's it, just like he said, near the entrance of the village. Now, how did Jesus know he was there? How did he know it was never ridden before? Let's untie it. Oops, here comes the owners. They're not going to be happy. Now imagine yourself now as the owners, coming out, wondering what they're doing. The city is full to the brim of people. There are strangers and perhaps unsavory characters. Then they see these two guys untying the donkey. So they went out to talk to them, maybe to shoo them away. Now, donkeys are likely not cheap and probably used for their livelihood. But hang on. They are the two disciples of Jesus. The Lord needs it. They said, Jesus needs it. All right then, he can have it. It must be hard, when you come to think of it, to let strangers have their animal. With such a huge crowd out there, the owners don't know if the donkey will be returned. Yet, they let Jesus have it. You see, Jesus is in control. He knew where the donkey was. He knew no one had ridden it before. He knew just what his disciples should say if the owners asked. He knew the owners would let him have it. Jesus is in full control, even in the events leading up to his death. What's more, at great personal cost, the owners trusted in Jesus. They let Jesus have his way. Now, do you guys trust your GPS? Or Google Maps? Once, my family and I were going to some cave somewhere for camping. I think it was my sister-in-law's idea. It was literally a painful holiday. Anyway, on the way there, we followed Google Maps, which finds the fastest way, right? Instead, we went left and right, uphill and downhill, up the countryside, and seemed to lead to nowhere. You know what? We should just have taken the highway and just turned left. Now, I'm not sure about you guys, but I'm the kind of guy who, I don't really like to ask for directions, unless it's a service station. Now, if you know someone who's been there before, who knows the lay of the land, they can tell you easily which way to take. The easy way. The easy yoke way. Sounds familiar? It's less suffering, right? Well, Jesus is in control. He knows the lay of the land. Will you be like the disciples who listened to his direction and did as he instructed? Are we like the owners of the donkey who gave of such a prized possession? Are we in control, or is the Lord in control? When he comes knocking, asking us to give up things for him, to do things for him, are we willing? Are we ready? Or do we go down off the beaten track and end up in the middle of nowhere? Trust in the Lord. He's been down this human road before. Even when he was in his dark hour, he was in control, a master of his destiny. He knows which road it is for us to take. All we need to do is to follow him. Now, the second theme of the passage is responding in praise for what Jesus did. The crowd shout out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This verse comes from Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, See, your King comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus came to Jerusalem in peace. He's not there to cause upset or cause political upheaval. He comes in a lowly condition, in humility. He doesn't come as a conqueror, you know, coming on a white horse. The donkey doesn't even have a proper saddle, just some clothes thrown on it for him to sit on. A gentle, lowly Messiah. Now, who are his companions? They are not warriors with great shields and swords like King David's mighty men. They are a bedraggled lot, some fishermen, tax collector, and some nationalistic zealots. How great it is when we have such a humble servant king who was willing to come in humble circumstances to save us. Jesus is not just any king. He is the king. He is not just some political savior. He is the Messiah. Jesus had been healing people, raising the dead, and doing great things back then. Jesus had come to save his people. So the disciples can't help themselves. They have to praise God, ascribe glory to God. Now, some of the Pharisees, they weren't happy. They tried to stop the disciples. Not only is Jesus coming on a donkey like some king or champion to Jerusalem at a busy time, but his disciples are openly declaring Jesus is king and even giving glory to God. You can imagine the Romans. They must have been watching what's going on. The Pharisees are scared that Romans might think, this could be a brewing rebellion and come and destroy the nation and temple. So the Pharisees told Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them off." But what does Jesus say? He said, "Even if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Even creation knows how big a deal this is. So the people cannot keep quiet." Have you been to a recital before? You know, one of those things where your child is playing and you've got to show up. I once went to my daughter's concert where different kids under the teacher, they do a recital of the pieces they studied during the year. Now, I heard this girl's recital, another girl's recital. She was a young girl, about 11 years old. But there she stood, playing her heart out, and did she play well. She played a stunning tune, a tune played so well that belied her young age. Now, when she finished, what could we do but to applaud? We couldn't help it. It was deserved. You see, it's the same thing when we come to the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. The crowd recognized his miracles, his teaching, his authority, his kingship, even his lordship. They could not help but to bless Jesus and give applause to heaven. Jesus is the king, the Messiah who frees his people and brings peace. Jesus won not a political or physical battle of the here and now, but he won for us something much, much more important, something of eternal value, our very souls. When we recognize what Jesus had done, how he came in such a lowly, humble way to save us, yet firmly and resolutely, he took his place on the cross instead of us. He took us from our broken lives and brought us into a loving embrace of God and gave us a peace for now and eternity. How can we not turn to our Savior and bless, worship, praise, and glorify him? Now, my third point is that Jesus mourned for those who rejected him. Now, let's return to the story. Jesus, was riding up into Jerusalem in the parade, like a parade, and people thought, here's our king, sent by God, who's going to save us. Here's Jesus, our champion. But Jesus seemed to behave in an unexpected way on the road. To help you guys understand it, let me just give you an illustration. Now imagine if you won the gold medal. If you won the gold medal in the 100 meters in the Olympics, and you are standing in an open roof car, you're driving down Burdett Street from our church, you're going down to Westfield, the crowds are wild, they're jubilantly celebrating your victory, our local boy or girl winning it, you're like the king or queen of Waitara, you saved Australia by winning their only gold medal in the Olympics. Now, what would you do? Tell me, what would you do going down the road? You'd be waving back, right? Yeah. You might choke back a tear or two, but you'll be happy. You'll be joyful. But what do people on the road to Jerusalem see? What do some of them see? They begin to see something unexpected in Jesus. Now, Jesus looks up at Jerusalem and starts sobbing. Now, the word in Greek here is kleio. The word for tears or crying here is stronger than what is read in an NIV, which says wept. The commentary refers to it as a full sobbing or wailing. Now, if you've been to a funeral before, when someone beloved is lost, and they're sobbing and they're mourning, that's the sense of what is conveyed here. Jesus is mourning over Jerusalem. Jesus mourned over Jerusalem because, just like he predicted where and how to get the donkey, he also predicted what was going to happen to Jerusalem. Jesus came to bring peace, to save them from destruction. But best of all, Jesus will save them from their sins and put them right with God once more. But because many rejected him, they missed their chance, and only judgment awaits. Now think about it. Jesus predicted here in the passage, number one, their enemies will build a siege against Jerusalem. Number two, they will dash both the people and their children inside the walls. Number three, they will not leave one stone on another. What happened? Now about 30 odd years after Jesus died, the Jews revolted. And the Romans lay siege to Jerusalem. People likely started dying from hunger, disease. The Romans came, they razed the temple. Many Jews were killed or sold as slaves. Josephus, if you read, the historian put the numbers of Jews killed during the siege at 1,100,000. That's why Jesus was weeping and mourning over Jerusalem. He knew they would reject him and miss their chance at peace. Being human, they would try to save themselves and fail utterly. Only Jesus has the answers. Only he can give real peace. Now, I heard a true story from the president of OMF. I think it used to be an inland mission in China. Hudson Taylor, if you know. So this friend of mine, he used to be a doctor, and he told us of a story of this young Chinese guy he met. I think it's possibly in Hong Kong. The poor guy had cancer in his leg, and a doctor told him, you know, he needed an amputation. However, he didn't want to do it. Perhaps some people were telling him, you know, use natural treatments like boiling some herbs and traditional remedies. Perhaps he was afraid of losing part of his leg or his leg. Whatever it was, he did not proceed to surgery. Now, as you know, unfortunately with untreated cancers, it can take your life, and it did take his life. He did not accept the opportunity to cut out the cancer. He did not take it when the chance was given to him. This is a lesson for all of us. You know, sometimes we think we're going to keep going forever. But you know, last year my father died. You know, when he was sick, I never really thought he would die. He seemed better after his heart surgery. You just can't imagine someone close to you dying unless it's happened to you. My father, after he fell sick, he returned to his Christian faith from his younger days in a real way. He took the opportunity afforded to him. He took it seriously. See, when you are confronted with your own mortality, you take this salvation, this offer of Jesus, seriously. So today, if you're not so sure where you stand before God, know this. Jesus died for you. Jesus went to the cross, not just for the Jews in Jerusalem or Israel, but for everyone. It's a simple thing to make sure your salvation. Turn from your sins and trust in Jesus. That's all you need. Don't miss your chance. Don't be like the ones that Jesus mourned for, but instead let us praise him, worship him for this wonderful thing that he has done for us. For those of us who trust him, enjoy his peace. Let's leave our lives of constant striving, of trying to do everything by yourself. Instead of wanting to control everything, give your control of your life over to Jesus, who is in control of the past, the present, and the future. Finally, we give heartfelt thanks to God for sending Jesus and give our lives to him to use as he pleases. Indeed, we say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen.